Welcome to episode 95 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure, and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. In this episode, Scott interviews Joanne Klein about some of the latest announcements from Ignite around content services and ECM in SharePoint Online and Office 365. So without further ado, here's the interview.
Scott Hoag, back at Ignite, and I have a very special guest. I'm sitting with Joanne Klein from NextNovus, the founder, owner, all things awesome over at that company. Joanne, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself real quick, give some background, and we'll go ahead and get into it?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Yeah, Joanne Klein. I'm from Western Canada. I hail from a province called Saskatchewan. So I have been in IT for a couple of decades, and I worked in SharePoint specifically for just over one decade. And I've kind of been in the on-prem space for quite a while, and then online for the last 3 or 4 years. So it's been an interesting career. Lots of things have changed over that period of time, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny the kind of pace technology moves at.
Yeah.
And it's gotten really fast lately.
Very fast. If you don't like it, just wait a day and it's going to be different.
Yeah, it'll be different. We'll all have something new to complain about. So since we're sitting here at Ignite and in all the hustle and bustle, what's your experience been? Are you having a good time finding all the kind of content, people, and connections you've been looking for?
Yeah, I've been to all of the previous Ignites, and this year I decided a different strategy is I wasn't going to focus too much or as much on the sessions. They're mostly recorded, but I was going to try to connect with other people in the community, some of the Microsoft product group, because I have some pretty specific questions because I work with this technology every day. So I really wanted a chance to talk to them and get some face-to-face with them and learn right from Microsoft themselves.
This is one of the best places to do it. They just kind of camp in the expo hall and you can go and pull meetings and
yes.
Everybody's super approachable. And
they very much so. And actually, yeah. I asked a question today. The person at the desk didn't know, and they took my contact information, and I was expecting to hear back next week. And within 20 minutes, I got an email from a Microsoft product.
Yeah.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic, but sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
They're dedicated to it this week. You might not hear back from them next week because they'll be heads down.
So take advantage of it.
On the next feature or whatever's
yeah.
coming. But I think that's kind of one of the hidden gems of conferences like this is people might approach them for the content. And yeah, the content's excellent, but it really is about being able to connect and network and make those connections and have them going forward, especially when you've got somebody's email address at Microsoft. It's great. Like, I'm going to reach out to you next time I have that problem
definitely.
And see if you know somebody. And can
definitely. That's the difference between coming to Ignite in person and just watching the sessions remotely from home.
Yeah.
I know you can't always come, but that's a big benefit of being here.
No, I think it's a great driver, and it certainly is a community-driven component to come in and get that. So besides some of those connections you've made, there's been tons of announcements
mm-hmm.
around, well, just about everything that Microsoft makes this week. But being, you know, that you're playing in the SharePoint space, what's kind of excited you that you've seen and is going to drive some better functionality for your customers?
I really felt some things coming together this Ignite. I work on a productivity and collaboration team. My focus is on kind of rolling out SharePoint to an organization. And content services is kind of my thing, my specialty, that being kind of the next wave after traditional enterprise content management. And what that means in layman's terms, basically, is we really want to start protecting data right from the minute it's created all the way through to when it's disposed. And I can see features being lit up across Office 365 that are addressing just that. So things on the IT pro side you can configure that were announced this week are SharePoint site classification is one. So up to this point in time, you could apply a classification to a SharePoint site, private, confidential, etc. But it really didn't mean anything.
It didn't drive any functionality. It was more metadata that was associated with the site.
Yes.
A way to go back and query and say, what sites have I classified as private or groups or whatever they happen
to be.
Right. Yeah.
But it's kind of a stepping stone. It's a building block there, and now they're going to apply some Microsoft information protection with that as well, and conditional access policy. So you can see that it's starting to, you know, start to protect content right from the minute, you know, it's placed into a site, let's say, that's marked top secret.
So now we have a little bit more kind of full life cycle in there.
Yeah.
So rather than targeting maybe a specific document with something like RMS, we'll sit at a higher level and actually above all the lists and libraries that exist inside of a site, and then have not just document kind of life cycle, but really life cycle around everything that's going on in there, from, like you said, content creation to let's follow that nice curve, sit at the top, we go through collaboration, and we've eventually got to hit the tail end and target, hopefully, some type of disposition to clear it out at the end of the day.
That's right. And I think a key thing is, you know, this all sounds good, but the more you can do kind of without an end user being encumbered in any way when they're doing collaboration, it's a good thing. So, you know, if it's kind of a global thing at that site that, you know, certain protection is applied, or, you know, you're not allowed to share externally or whatever the thing is, you know, without the end user having to kind of configure that, I think it's a good thing. Another one is self-service file restore. I know we're pushing it to site administrators in this case. I think you have to be a site administrator to do this. So this was announced in OneDrive. They've now pushed this over to SharePoint. So it's an end user being able to, well, a site owner in this case, being able to kind of self-serve their own kind of corpus of data that they have. So if they messed up, and, you know, they need to go back 10 days ago and restore their library, then they can. So I think it's part of that big content services data protection scenario that I talk about that means just better control at the end of the day.
Yeah, it plays in a couple different ways.
It's
one of those, you know, OneDrive is SharePoint, so it makes sense to drive the feature and functionality.
Sure.
It's kind of how it manifests for either a user or an admin. So they can go back same as they can in OneDrive and do either whole document library recovery or individual file restore in both SharePoint sites and Teams, because document storage is just SharePoint in that case as well, back to that 30-day delta. So as more and more kind of storage improvements have been driven out, we've had multiple versions turned on and all the other good things, there's not so much of an impact from a kind of programmatic perspective on the back end. You know, storage is cheap, it's commodity, it's just getting lit up constantly.
Right.
Customers might not like it because all of a sudden I have 600 versions of things and maybe I have a policy that says I shouldn't do that. But, you know, it is kind of nice feature and functionality. And especially with some of the improvements that have come to things like file synchronization with OneDrive, you know, you mentioned like the disaster recovery thing. You know, a lot of that feature for OneDrive for business sites was born out of things like malware recovery and ransomware.
Yes.
So if, hey, my whole OneDrive was encrypted, who cares? We'll just click a button and we'll step back in time. And if users are going to start consuming some of these improvements, right, we're going to be doing metadata sync and more stuff is going to be synchronizing.
Yes.
Makes sense to have more holistic protection for everything that's coming down to coming down to a box. So now one user can't ruin it for everybody.
Yeah. Another huge area that I saw is on the retention side. And I think they call it metadata-driven labels, which I think can be driven off of, you know, content types or metadata. And that was a missing gap from the traditional way of applying retention to current day. So traditional being the information management policies. So, you know, everyone has different types of content in their SharePoint environments, so contracts and budgets and etc. But there was no way to okay, let's put a contract retention label on that thing and then have certain protection and retention on that. So that is coming, I believe, in Q4 2018. So that's...
Yeah, a lot of these are coming out a little bit later in the year.
Yeah.
It was kind of hit or miss whether they were targeted release in November
right.
or coming out
yeah.
kind of H1, H2.
Yeah.
So you do have to watch
yeah.
a little bit
yeah.
and potentially make sure your tenancy's configured or you're ready to consume it
yeah.
kind of when it does come online, if it's a
yeah.
feature that interests you.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing because if you can auto-apply that, there again, it alleviates the end user from having to do that for you. So, it kind of speaks to trying to get all of this stuff set up with as little encumbrance on the end user as possible.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
You might not label all the things, but the really important things
yeah.
are going to come down.
That's
kind
right.
of that core set of
yes.
of data that you've chosen to apply it to.
Absolutely.
Because you've probably got a little bit more maturity anyway if you've created a content type around it and you're pushing
it's
out
it's
at a higher
level. It's a bit more structured
yeah.
and has, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Another one I saw was file plans. Now, I don't know if they call them file plans in Canada. I don't know if they call them...
Same thing here.
Same thing?
Yep.
Okay. So this is...
Pretty much every place I've ever been, whether it's law firm or legal or financial.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard they call them something different in Australia because I was talking to an Aussie yesterday.
You know, I lived in Australia for a couple of years, but I can't remember ever working on anything retention-based when I was there.
Okay.
It's probably something fancy, like
fancy.
Afternoon is Arvo. And,
okay.
You don't go to a bowling alley, you go to a bolo. Everything's
okay.
Short.
Okay. I can't remember what they called it, but apparently you can import an Excel file that contains your file plan and then kind of manage your retention rules off that. I don't know what that looks like, but I think Microsoft is really trying to appease some of the information management teams out there because I think we're dragging them along from kind of the old traditional enterprise content management
mm-hmm.
world where things were very controlled and, you could maybe contain it in a nice, neat box. and now it's...
Those days are gone.
At least if you're
in SharePoint land.
Yeah.
Or Office 365 land and kind of consuming this new world of a consumer-facing service where it's both consumer and enterprise at the same time. So Microsoft's always... Or they seem to be walking that tightrope and trying to find that balance.
I think so. Yeah.
Hey, I need somebody that's got 10 people, and I need somebody that's got 100,000.
Right.
They all need these features.
Yeah.
So everybody might not consume file plans, but if you do, it's certainly a more kind of structured way to put them together.
It is. Yeah. So those were kind of the big ones for me. There's document sets is, I still use document sets even in SharePoint Online today. They're a great content type, basically. And they are finally modernizing them. It was one of the laggards where they haven't yet done that. So I think end users are going to be pleased with that. Another thing is label analytics. I'm going to go back to labeling. So on the IT pro side, you're going to be able to see kind of more granular analytics on what labels have been applied across your organization, what sites, who's labeling them, who's changed a label, all that kind of stuff. So, you're going to have to have somebody monitoring this, a compliance manager, some role in your organization that does this.
It should be part of the job. I think one of the confusing things about labels is you're kind of guided in the documentation to say, let's create a label and then let's create a policy right behind it and just go ahead and implement it. So now you have a little bit of a path. Like there were ways to discover the labels in the past, but now it's all laid out, unified, user interface, kind of one-stop shopping to understand application of labels. So let's understand the way users are consuming them, or maybe if we're applying them automatically, let's go ahead and kind of test the waters and see where they land.
Yes.
Before we turn on a wholesale, delete all the things, and oh my gosh, we deleted too much, or we deleted the wrong things.
Yeah.
And
it
gives you an opportunity to kind of do a little bit of a gut check.
It does. And as a matter of fact, it's funny you say that, because how the approach that we've taken in rolling out both, you know, Azure Information Protection labels and retention labels is crawl, walk, run, for that exact reason. I mean, you can't solve it all right from the get-go, else you'll never get off the starting line. So, you know, take it in small chunks, try it out with the team, and just kind of see what they do. Are they using the labels? Are they changing them?
Yeah, I've had some interesting conversations with some of the vendors this week, especially, you know, who play in kind of the data governance space, about how to approach some of that from a kind of, you know, we're an organization, we're interested in this, or we're an enterprise. We require that level of maturity to go ahead and knock it down. So how do we test that out? Do we do trial tenants? Am I a customer that's eligible for fast track? Maybe I should go ahead and light up my, you know, my test fast track tenant, have access to that, and be able to load some content in. There's tons of migration tools out there. You might already have one. You can use, you know, Microsoft kind of native one. Load a bunch of files into a document library, and it might not need the same exact structure, but let it be crawled, let it be indexed, go ahead and create some labels, see what happens, maybe test out retention and disposition. You know, yeah, it might be 7 years in the real world, but let's make it like 7 days over here.
Right.
And see what it does, and watch it run through that life cycle.
So a bit of a playground.
Yep. And make sure it all works out. And I thought that was great advice, because I think everybody's kind of locked into the idea that I have this tenant and it's this thing, and my developers might have, you know, their dev tenants or anything else, but I've only really got one place that has all my data.
That's true.
You might need another place to have a subset of your data to play around with it and not have such large impacts. So, you know,
right. That's a great
test
idea.
The waters, play with it, and then now I've got it down, let's go implement it on the other side and figure out what it's going to look like at scale.
Yes. No, I think that's fantastic advice. I'm going to remember that.
I see. I learned something this week.
Yeah.
All without going to a session. Anything else out there that kind of struck you as
not specifically in the content services space, but there were a ton of announcements on the kind of publishing intranet side of SharePoint that, you know, are great, really making it so you really don't need to hire a professional development team to have a pretty good looking SharePoint environment. And they've made the root site of a SharePoint, you know, the root site collection, modern now. It used to be classic up to this point in time, which is really good. So everything can be modern. They've added all kinds of capabilities on new modern web parts and connecting web parts, mega menu navigation. I mean, they're just bolting on all of those things that people like and usually had to go to a third-party product to get.
Yeah, they have to do something to figure it out. I mean, I've been with organizations that have built custom intranets. They've done, you know, like single-page applications, or they've contracted with developers, or they've bought products.
And,
you know, in the past, we'd have to work around it. You can't get away from having a root site, so all of a sudden, you know, you have contoso.sharepoint.com, but your intranet sat at /site/intranet. So you had maybe like a redirect from a home page, or you're doing some kind of vanity thing on a load balancer, just giving users like an IDP initiated smart link and saying, go here and do this. And you're just doing all these workarounds because it's like, all I wanted to do was have
the core
of my content in this place.
Yeah.
Now it leads to the other interesting problem. Now that it's lit up, all those organizations that went and did strange things like that, they've got a way, like, do I want to move it? Do I want to get it over there? What does that look like?
Yeah. Welcome to our world, right?
Yeah.
Like
It's you know, they keep everyone in business.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeps everybody busy.
It does. I mean, there's still going to be room for, you know, those third-party players, because there's always custom things that need to be done. But I think it's really helped, certainly SMBs and some larger organizations, to just self-serve on a lot of those things, which is good, in my opinion.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
Oh, they're clapping for us.
Oh, yes, they really like that one.
Anything else that kind of popped out at you?
Oh, let me think.
How about this? What's your favorite non-SharePoint announcement? Like, has anything caught your eye from just Office 365 or Microsoft 365 or shiny devices, anything like that?
Shiny devices. I want to check out the SharePoint Spaces, I think
it's right
called.
Behind us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we, when we wrap up, you can hop right over and pop on a HoloLens. And
yeah, because when I first saw a demo of that, I think I was thinking, oh, I mean, I work in the financial services industry, so I'm thinking, what is the application there? But I've since heard that in kind of the training aspect of pretty much any organization, like you can have a virtual kind of person like doing some training and doing some demos and stuff. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to go over there and have a talk with them. But what I want to know is, you know, in the financial services industry, let's say, what kind of application is there for that? I want to get some ideas. So I think that's kind of cool. That's not my normal space, but it's interesting.
Yeah, certainly worth going by and talking to them. I think when they announced that one at, I don't know if you were at SharePoint conference, but some of us, I'll admit I was there and went like, well, I don't know. I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I kind of the same reaction. And I had to go and talk to a couple of people and see and think like where might you use this within your organization. So I could go manufacturing folks and even some who, you know, just do like, you know, generic kind of enterprise. And it's like, oh, we might be able to use it for like HR. So onboarding, you get a new employee. How do you get them not ingrained, but introduced to corporate culture? So maybe you actually have a space that represents your headquarters. You know, if you work in Canada and your company is headquartered in Europe, then you might not have the chance to go over there on day one.
Okay.
So you know, kind of walk the hallways and see the pictures on the walls and things like that. So kind of just giving immersive experiences wherever they have to be.
Yeah.
But if you've never played around with HoloLens or a SharePoint space, you should definitely do it.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a fun thing to do. I think I'll try that.
Very cool. So where can people find you if they want to interact? I know you blog a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter.
Yeah. My Twitter handle is Joanne C. Klein. And I blog a lot about the things I talked about today, joannecklein.com. So reach out to me there. I have a contact form. If you have a specific question or you just want to follow up on something, please don't hesitate to do so.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.